Imagine you're standing in a street because you've decided you've had enough of being treated like you don't count. Your arms are hooked together with people on either side of you, and you're looking at police officers with batons raised, or at German shepherds straining at their leashes, snarling like the officers holding them back for the moment. And you can see the paddy wagons parked on the far side of the street, and you know that if you're lucky enough to avoid being beaten by one of those batons, chances are good you'll find yourself in jail, facing other kinds of physical or emotional violence. You see hate and derision and poison in the eyes of the people looking at you from behind those batons and those dogs. You are shaking in your shoes, and you can feel your comrades shaking too. And then someone behind you starts to sing. And someone else joins them, and someone else, and before you know it, you find your voice. And you're singing too. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on to freedom land. Or imagine you're standing in a street 60 years later because you've decided you've had enough of being walked over, that it's time to stand up for yourself and the next generations and our Mother Earth. You're looking at a huge barricade made by police that stands between you and most of what you need to live. And there are dogs here, too, and police with rubber bullets, and drones and helicopters constantly buzzing overhead. And many of your friends have had to retreat from this line you are forming because they've been hit with water at really high pressure, and it's 28 degrees out. And then from behind you, you hear the sound of drums like a heartbeat and chanting like the river you're protecting. And before you know it, you find your voice and you're shouting up to the sky, "Aho!" Or maybe you're not in a street. Maybe you're sitting right here in this room, and maybe you're thinking about the hard things in your life you have to deal with. Maybe you're sick, or someone close to you is sick, or you're facing a loss, or your job, or your health insurance is in danger. And you're thinking about the hard things other people have to deal with, and it's cold outside, and there isn't enough room in the shelters for everyone who doesn't have a home or a warm place to sleep. And you have a friend or a parent or a child who has just lost their access to affordable health care. Or some of the kids that go to that high school across the street are suddenly facing the possibility of losing their deferred action for childhood arrivals and being sent back to the violence their parents had fled in their home countries. Or maybe the trans daughter of your neighbor was just beaten up. And as you're sitting in the scary place of the unknown, the worries, your fears and the fears of others, looking them in the face and not knowing if you're up to meeting them, you look around at your companions in the room, and you know that they're scared or disheartened or angry or not safe. And they're all looking around too, all of you, looking at each other and at you in recognition and shared awareness that we're all afraid together, and we're all here together. And can we help each other and help our neighbors find safety and peace and justice? Circle round for freedom. Circle round for peace, for all of us in prison. Circle for peace. soul, for the children of our children. Keep the circle whole. Do you feel that? There's the power. Power that's in each of us, that's activated when we share our fears and face them together. Power that's activated when we find our voices and sing or pray or speak out. Power that can lift us up, move us toward hope and even joy in the hard work of pushing back against those fears. There is power in resistance, especially in shared resistance. And that power creates resilience. And resilience boosts that power, gives us more space to breathe, and more energy with which to resist. When I went to Standing Rock back in November, I found a community that was well practiced in resistance, in standing up for what they know is right against strong forces that are seeking its destruction. They had all the tools, infrastructure to provide for food and water and warmth, allies to take risks and provide support, bullhorns and vehicles and shared chants and inspiring leaders. And that community was well practiced also in resilience, in keeping themselves and each other healthy and whole so that their resistance could be as strong as possible. They had all those tools as well, a wellness center, spiritual leaders, companionship, rules, boundaries, and a culture of sharing. And I noticed, as I have noticed in myself at times, that active resistance and resilience fed each other in a cyclical way. The more they dug in, physically, emotionally, spiritually, the more they were able to dig in. I'm seeing that spirit here, too. As we start to face the realities of moving back into the shadow of bigotry and hate, I thought we had moved further beyond as a nation. I don't think we were naive enough or self-congratulatory enough to think that racism and misogyny and homophobia and Islamophobia and extreme nationalism were gone. But I join a lot of people in surprise at our nation's quick return to them. In the face of all these awful things, I'm also seeing evidence of compassion and love, which are the antidote, I believe, to the bigotry and the hate. And the rising up of joy in the work amplifies that compassion and love, feeding our resilience. The Pussy Hat Project is an example of this. Someone came up with the idea of knitting pink hats for as many people going to the Women's March in Washington as possible. The hats have these little points on them, resembling ears, so they're a little cat-like in silhouette. Pussy hat is a play on words, to reclaim a word that has been used to describe women in a derogatory way. And so the project has two goals, to make a collective visual statement at the march, and to give people who can't go a way to be part of it. And so, like everything else liberals do, there's controversy around it. Some feminists say it's frivolous, that it detracts from the serious message of women's rights. But as a congregant tells me, at parties that she's hosting to make these hats, multi-generational and mixed-race community is being built in a way that is both intentional about sharing thoughts on the issue and fun. She finds joy in offering the space and the hospitality for the knitters and the crocheters, and one of her guests talked about how lovely it was to share her knitting practice, her meditative knitting practice, with a group. The congregant told me that she's interested in building community any way she can for people to start wherever they are, and that she sees the joy and the laughter they're sharing as a way to build resilience. And the hat that I hopefully get to wear in Madison next week at the march will have been made by three women, three different women, whose love and whose energy I will carry with me, offering me some resilience. I need to remember that joy. I need it to feed me. That's why I'm so excited, and this is going to sound like a plug. I'm excited that Emma's Revolution will be playing here next month, and I don't mean to make a promotional announcement in the middle of a sermon. I am excited about this. They are activist musicians who took their name from the Emma Goldman line, "If I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution." February 11th, that's the plug. And that's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about, because singing and dancing and shared laughter in the work of resistance feeds me. Dr. King preached what he called four antidotes to fear, which sound to me a lot like the resilience that can feed us in resistance. First, he wrote, we must unflinchingly face our fears and honestly ask ourselves why we are afraid. This confrontation will, to some measure, grant us power. We shall never be cured of fear by escapism or repression, for the more we attempt to ignore and repress our fears, the more we multiply our inner conflicts. Second, he continued, we can master fear through one of the supreme virtues known to man, courage. Courage is an inner resolution to go forward in spite of obstacles and frightening situations. Courage breeds creative self-affirmation. Courage faces fear and thereby masters it. Third, he writes, fear is mastered through love. Hate is rooted in fear, and the only cure for fear-hate is love. A mass movement exercising love and nonviolence and demonstrating power under discipline should convince the white community that were such a movement to attain strength, its power would be used creatively and not vengefully. Love casts out fear. And fourth, he says, fear is mastered through faith. A positive religious faith does not offer an illusion that we shall be exempt from pain and suffering, nor does it imbue us with the idea that life is a drama of unalloyed comfort and untroubled ease. Rather, it instills us with the inner equilibrium needed to face strains, burdens and fears that inevitably come, and assures us that the universe is trustworthy and that God is concerned. Religion endows us with the conviction that we are not alone in this vast, uncertain universe. Yeah. I need to hear that over and over. Not that, this. Fear is mastered through faith. It instills us with the inner equilibrium needed to face strains, burdens, and fears that inevitably come, and assures us that the universe is trustworthy and that God is concerned. Religion endows us with the conviction that we are not alone in this vast, uncertain universe. This is what gave people in the civil rights era what it took to face down the dogs and the fire hoses and the jailers. It's what gives people in Standing Rock what it takes to stand up in the face of drones and rubber bullets and water cannons. And it's what will give us what it takes to wake up, to stay woke, to stand up for ourselves and our neighbors in this new era. I invite us to hold on to the possibilities. No, I call us to hold on to the possibilities of resistance and resilience, to hold on to awareness and courage and love and faith. hold on to the knowledge that we have everything we need to resist hatred and oppression, and come. Come to worship, come to organizing meetings, come to informational meetings, come to social events. Come and have fun. Come to religious exploration. Come to service events and actions. Come with the power of singing and dancing and praying and speaking out. Come with your whole heart, open to our shared humanity, ready to move and be moved in this movement, because that is what is at the center of this work for peace and justice for all of us.